morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the Big Sky mine area near Colstrip and updates on closures and other preparations in light of coronavirus. It's Wednesday, March 25th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A 57-year-old Missoula man has died of an apparent suicide at a locked drug treatment center in Lewistown. Petroleum County Coroner Dick Brown says Stephen Richard Thomas Wolf died Sunday afternoon at the Nexus Treatment Center. An autopsy is planned today in Billings. The Nexus program is an 80-bed meth treatment facility for adult male offenders convicted of crimes related to meth possession or manufacturing. Lewistown Police and Brown continue to investigate Wolf's death. Montana will release $3 million to a mining company that started reclaiming roughly 2,300 acres of land from strip mining in the 90s. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Missouri-based Peabody Energy spent more than 20 years replanting grasses and restoring terrain impacted by operation at the Big Sky Mine, Area B, near Colstrip. Montana Department of Environmental Quality vegetation ecologist Mike Glenn says DEQ required 10 years to pass and changes to take root before the agency considered Area B reclaimed and released the surety bond to the mining company.
You've got cows out there, you've got antelope, you've got elk, you've got everything you can imagine running through there, and it's all mining and reclamation. So I guess what stands out about Big Sky is the fact that it's a fantastic kind of showpiece of where mining can go.
The site also features streams, wetlands, and wells. DEQ hydrologist Martin Van Oort says Peabody has mitigated groundwater level changes and installed both new wells and ponds to replace the pre-mine water supplies. Environmental advocacy group Northern Plains Resource Council says only time will tell if water quality reclamation has been successful. As of 2017, mining has disturbed about 40,000 acres of land in Montana, according to Mike Glenn with DEQ. He says companies have reclaimed about half of that. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Officials say the Montana Republican Party bankrolled the signature gathering effort to get the Montana Green Party certified for the 2020 ballot. A political committee called Montanans for Conservation says its April 15th financial report will show it received a $100,000 in-kind donation from the Montana Republican Party for the amount of money the party paid to advanced micro-targeting to gather signatures. People who were gathering signatures in January and February said they were working for advanced micro-targeting. Democrats argue the effort is an attempt to draw votes away from Democratic candidates. Republicans say they were only supporting more options for voters.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cades-Carney.
And I'm Nikki Willett. Montana is now reporting 51 cases of the COVID-19 illness. That's six more than Monday, and a quarter of them are in Gallatin County.
Governor Steve Bullock has extended closure orders for bars, dine-in restaurants, and K-12 public schools. Those closures now last until April 10th.
So, Corin, what does this mean for schools? They had been closed down since last Monday, and they were told to use the time between then and this coming Friday to solidify their plans for remote learning, food delivery, and learning accommodations so that they could maintain their state funding. With the extension, now what?
So as you mentioned, school districts are already making plans for remote learning for students, although they're working on an unclear timetable for how long that distance learning is going to need to happen. Bullock says he doesn't want to close down classes for the rest of the year, and he's making that judgment weeks at a time.
Some have asked, why don't I just close down the schools for the rest of the year? Or conversely, when I say two more weeks, am I confident that life will be back to normal in 2 weeks? I don't think it would be wise or serve the best interests of Montanans at this time to make decisions that'll have finality for what Montana might look like 8 or 10 weeks down the road. I mean, we're daily dealing with issues and challenges, and we're learning each and every day as well.
But schools are required to have approved plans by the end of this week for their distance learning in order to maintain state funding.
Bullock also extended business closures through April 10th.
And this covers the same businesses that were under Bullock's initial closure, so bars, restaurants, cafes, gyms, places where people like to gather. He's also asked them to get the head count of groups down to 10, and that they need to maintain for 6-foot spacing, the social distancing we keep hearing about, you know, that's we talked about yesterday, you know, the sneeze radius.
And that 10-person maximum following the 6-foot sneeze radius, that applies to non-business settings too. There's no non-essential gatherings of 10 or more people under the governor's new directive. Corin, what about barbershops and salons? We've actually gotten a lot of questions about those.
Salons, barbershops, they're not under this closure order. And the question actually came up during a press conference with Bullock Tuesday afternoon. And Bullock didn't directly say why barbershops and salons aren't included, but he says it's on everyone to practice good social distancing, and he's worked with his health officers in the administration to determine what closures were going to happen and what businesses were impacted. He also said businesses that are ordered to close, they don't get any kind of special benefits or relief packages from the state that other businesses that aren't closing wouldn't be eligible for.
So retail shops are not closing under this order.
Right. Bullock is asking those businesses, he's ordering those businesses, to create policies and enforce them to create social distancing. So again, that's a minimum of 6 feet between customers, and that's effective March 28th. And it won't apply to grocery stores, healthcare facilities, and pharmacies.
So all those essential services. What if somebody doesn't follow the closure order?
Bullock said in the press conference that it's going to be that county attorneys can have the option of enforcing.
So, Corin, yesterday, the two lead ER doctors in Billings wrote a plea published in the Billings Gazette. They're calling for pretty much exactly the types of measures that Bullock was talking about on that press call, social distancing. And I want to read you a couple quotes from their letter because it's pretty specific. They say it means shopping for groceries just once a week at most. It means not having parties, kid play dates, or social or family gatherings, even if everybody doesn't think they're sick. They say that this type of social distancing buys doctors time to come up with a vaccine, to get enough beds and ventilators ready in case a lot of people get sick, and to understand the disease better. And this is the part that really stuck out to me, so I'm quoting here. Right now, healthcare workers are making plans to live apart from our families in a separate house, hotel, or trailer, potentially for months, to keep them safe from bringing this virus home to them. We are writing the last will and testament that we never found time to write, but really need now because we're worried we might die of COVID-19. We are reusing personal protective equipment and making our own because there may not be enough.
And we're hearing some of the strongest calls for actions coming from kind of those people who are kind of those first responders, first point of contact for patients. Earlier this week, we heard from the Montana Nurses Association. They were calling for a shelter-in-place order, which they acknowledged was a bold move. And Tuesday afternoon was the first time we heard Bullock kind of address those calls for a shelter-in-place order, which some other states are issuing, you know, those larger lockdowns, which means only bare essentials like groceries and pharmacies are still open. And Bullock responded to a question about, you know, what it would take for him to get there. He said he's taken actions to prevent large groups from gathering and stressing the importance of social distancing, and he hopes Montanans are taking it seriously. But a shelter-in-place order isn't something he thinks is necessary now, but he hasn't ruled it off the table in the future.
I know that Montanans, and I sure hope that Montanans, are taking the importance of this, of avoiding large crowds, only going out for walks and to the grocery store or pharmacy. I certainly hope that they're taking it serious. If it's determined that other measures are needed to be taken to limit crowd gatherings, I'll take those into consideration, certainly.
For listeners who haven't sat in on one, press calls are usually just a bunch of reporters on a conference call line trying to remember to mute themselves. But yesterday, the call line was so busy that I got kicked off of it twice.
Yeah, and I was watching on Facebook Live, and there were hundreds of people on there. It looked like the governor's office was having a hard time getting connected for a while. And this press call was unlike any other I've seen the governor's office have. And, you know, a lot of the time it's these press calls, it's the same group of reporters, we know each other, we're kind of taking turns asking questions of the governor. But in this press call, a handful of questions actually came from local government officials. Here's an exchange between Kathy Maloney, she's the superintendent of schools in Butte-Silver Bow County.
We are encouraging school boards to meet to get waivers for emergency declarations. How do we handle those?
Kathy, I'd talk to your local school board. I mean, that's...
Yes, but does the county superintendent have a role that we need to get this to you?
We'd be happy to give you a call offline.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That's interesting because Bullock and other state officials have said they're really in close contact with local officials.
Right, and there are lots of calls happen daily between, you know, local officials and the state. And I think this exchange points to how fast things are moving. This wasn't the only question that Bullock fielded from local county officials during this press call. There were questions from local officials about what's happening with daycare and when Bullock orders these closures, you know, who needs to be the enforcement behind that? So I think it really speaks to, you know, how fast information is moving, and some are still looking for guidance on what to do.
Yeah, I've heard that from doctors, too. When they talk about guidance coming down from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they say that the guidance and guidelines coming down are just changing a couple times a week. It's fast moving.
Right. It's the takeaways from the last day in COVID-19 news in Montana, though. Schools, bars, dine-in, restaurants, other social businesses, they will remain closed for another 2 weeks.
And we'll be here tomorrow morning with a new slate of updates. Thanks, Corin.
Thank you, Nikki.
Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks announced yesterday they're closing to all visitors, effective immediately. The closure comes days after area county health officials and Montana and Wyoming's governors called for the parks to close to limit the spread of the novel coronavirus. The closures follow a weekend that saw heavy visitation, despite the concern of spreading coronavirus through social contact. No visitors will be allowed access to either park, though highways and roads along park and state boundaries will remain open. Park facilities that support life, safety, and commerce will also stay open. On Saturday, Glacier National Park closed its bookstore and visitor centers under similar recommendations. Park restrooms, water stations, and information phone lines are still available. In-person staff services have been suspended. Governor Steve Bullock announced yesterday he's extending closures that had been set to expire Friday for public schools as well as bars, dine-in restaurants, and other social gathering places until April 10th in an attempt to slow the spread of COVID-19 in Montana. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports Bullock is also imposing new rules on other retail businesses.
Bullock is now prohibiting non-essential gatherings of 10 or more people outside of homes if social distancing can't take place. Bullock is also directing retail stores to implement social distancing protocols that will keep customers at least 6 feet apart, though grocery stores, healthcare, medical, or pharmacy services are exempt. That and other recent state directives in response to COVID-19 can be enforced by county attorneys, something Bullock said he made clear in his latest emergency orders. Bullock also extended K-12 public school and other closures. Bullock followed his initial closure order earlier this month with guidance for school districts to plan out how they will provide remote learning for students and other services. Those plans will need to be in place and approved by local school boards by the end of this week in order to maintain state funding through April 10th or if closures are extended past that date. Bullock said he decided against closing schools for the rest of the year because it's hard to know what the future holds.
I don't think it would be wise or serve the best interests of Montanans at this time to make decisions that'll have finality for what Montana might look like 8 or 10 weeks down the road.
Bullock noted that school and other closures could be extended, and he expects the number of coronavirus cases in the state to rise. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Bozeman Health says that within a month, it will be able to analyze COVID-19 swabs on site. Rachel Kramer reports the regional health giant says this could reduce the wait time for results to less than an hour.
Bozeman Health has ordered 3 analyzers to test nasal swabs for COVID-19 at Deaconess Hospital in Bozeman, Belgrade Clinic in Urgent Care, and Big Sky Medical Center. Brad Ludford, Bozeman Health's chief financial officer, says having on-site testing rather than sending samples to the state lab will cut the wait time for results from a day or more to 40 minutes.
We expect within about 4 weeks, we'll be able to have that new equipment in place and we'll be able to provide almost immediate results to patients.
Several big donors from Bozeman and Big Sky helped Bozeman Health pay for the new analyzers. Ludford says the larger analyzer for Deaconess Hospital costs nearly $250,000. The 2 analyzers for the other sites are each around $70,000. He says donors are also supporting construction costs at Big Sky Medical Center to increase the number of beds from 4 to 8.
We're talking about how we can best utilize Big Sky Medical Center. And might that be a good place for post-acute patients that are not necessarily struggling with COVID-19?
Ludford says Bozeman Health is considering sending people recovering from a stroke or surgery to Big Sky to keep Deaconess Hospital in Bozeman focused on patients with COVID-19. He says getting personal protective equipment like masks, gloves, and gowns remains a significant challenge. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Montanans are helping solve the problem of critical shortages of medical masks as coronavirus continues to spread. Volunteers using 2 very different machines are working to arm healthcare workers with masks. Sewing machines and 3D printers and lots of volunteers are making reusable masks to protect healthcare workers from the novel coronavirus. In Billings, Dr. Dusty Richardson, dentist Dr. Spencer Zog, and his son Colton Zog came up with a way to 3D print reusable masks. Dr. Richardson is a neurosurgeon at Billings Clinic.
It's a creative solution to a bad problem. I wouldn't claim that it's a perfect solution. I wouldn't claim that it couldn't be improved upon, and that's why we included the files out there so that people, engineers, companies are able to help to solve the shortage.
Each 3D printed mask costs about $1 to produce. Richardson says they're donating every mask they make locally to Billings Clinic and sharing their design for free. It takes about 3 hours to print each plastic mask, which looks almost like a gas mask without the filters on the side. Instead, this design has a square slot in the front for a replaceable filter. Richardson says the masks can use either N95 respirator filters or a single surgical mask can be cut up and used as 6 filters.
The idea is to use less mask material for each use.
Richardson says the 3D printed masks haven't been approved as replacement for the N95 respirators. Flowmark High Tech Filters Company in Billings initially made 200 filters for the prototype mask. Owner Shane Reckdahl says he can make as many filters as needed and has already received orders for filters from all over the country. Over in Livingston, Karen Sorrell started organizing efforts to sew reusable masks with other volunteers in the Gallatin County area last week. Gallatin County has the highest concentration of coronavirus cases.
The mask is important, but what's really the story is how the community has come together to generate a support system, a network, to build these masks and send the message, we love our healthcare providers.
The Facebook page dedicated to coordinating mask making has well over 1,000 members. Since the Bozeman Daily Chronicle published a story about the sewn masks, Sorrell has been inundated with calls, emails, and texts from people who want to donate time, money, or expertise.
One hospital called and they said, we have our doctors and our nurses sewing masks. I said, oh my gosh, you've got to empower the community. They want to do this.
The sewn masks have a pocket where a filter is inserted. The filters can be replaced and masks washed for multiple uses. Michelle Elder, a registered nurse for Bozeman Health Clinic, will conduct quality control as masks are donated and after each wash. It's worth noting that both replacements are about as effective as surgical masks, not necessarily the N95 respirator the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends to protect against coronavirus. For YPR News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.